the meeting in the air, and I'm glad there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I can promise you that I am going to meet you there in that home beyond the sky. We read of it in the Word of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 13, that's where our text will be taken from this morning. When you find your place, if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and in verse number 13. Now, this morning, there are several that are missing still with us this morning that are not in the house of the Lord, some that are, I'm sure, unable to attend, some that are concerned about attending and maybe they're trying to be responsible with their health, and then some that need to be at the house of the Lord and ought to repent and get right with God. And but whenever we get to heaven, friend, the folks that are right with the Lord will all be present at that meeting in the air. And we've seen some that this year, I mean, this has been a very hard year on people that I have great respect for and that have been my mentors in the faith. I've seen so many of them go home to be with the Lord. Some that are in hospice care right now that have had extended illnesses and sicknesses and cancers that at any moment could be going home to be with the Lord. Some preacher men that I hold in the highest esteem that are in that position right now. But when we get to heaven, when we get to that meeting in the air, there will not be a one of God's children that will be missing from that meeting. And what a blessed, wonderful day that day is going to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the Word of the Lord says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have a hope. We do not sorrow the same way as this world who has to say a final goodbye when the cords of this life are broken. But rather we know there's going to be a connection again. And that's what the rest of these verses deal with. Matter of fact, if you read on through chapter number 5, the rest of the epistle of 1 Thessalonians deals with this. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The Lord being my helper this morning, I want to preach to you a little while about the meeting in the air. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. This is a great and momentous portion of Scripture that has the power of hope, the promise of deliverance, and the purpose of comfort in our lives. I want to say those three things again. It has the power of hope, the promise of deliverance, and the purpose of comfort in our lives. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Christ, declares unto us that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope beyond the grave. For we have another day to look for. We know that there will be a meeting in the air. The song in our hymnal said it right. One day we will meet those gone on, and God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. And what a meeting that will be. What a meeting in the air. What a day that day will be. And I'm so thankful for it. I have about 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 things that I want to give you this morning and a few things about those things. And so I will try to preach fast as the Lord will let us. And I want you to tune in intently today to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. This is such important. preaching. It is such an important message to the child of God. It is our blessed hope. It is our consolation. It is the comfort that keeps us pressing on in a perilous world. And we're talking about that meeting in the air. The word of the Lord is abundantly clear. There will be a meeting in the air. And in this, there will be a return. There will be a return. Oh, verse number 14, the Bible says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." We believe in the resurrection of Christ, and since we believe in the resurrection and eternal life of Christ, we know that our loved ones are not dead, but they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. And as surely as what I'm standing here this morning, we believe that Jesus is also coming back again. "For this we say," according to verse number 15, "for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." The Apostle Paul lets us know this is not opinion. This is not my supposition. This is not me making in some way a guess or a projection of sorts. "But I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." It's clear that Jesus is coming back. He's coming to bring them with Him. He is coming, remaining unto the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. It's important to know that there are distinctly two events that are often referred to as the return of the Lord. He will come in this passage for His saints. He will come again at the close of the tribulation with His saints. He will come at the rapture to take us away, but He will return at the end of the tribulation to bring us to reign with Him. He will not stay upon the earth when He comes at the rapture and resurrection, but we will meet Him in the air. At the end of the tribulation, He will come to put His foot upon planet earth and to rule and to reign upon the earth. Today, I want to try to focus on this event of His initial return. Jesus is coming to get His bride.
Amen.
Jesus is coming to get His church. There will be a return. Notice the person that is returning. Verse number 16, "For the Lord Himself, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Oh, my friend, at the close of the tribulation, Christ will send angels, the Bible says, to gather His elect at His coming. But at the rapture, Christ Himself will come for His bride. He'll not send an angel. He'll not send a messenger from heaven. He'll not send a prophet or, my friend, a representative or ambassador. But Christ Himself is coming for us. This same Jesus you've seen go away from you is coming again in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming again. He went away in the clouds. He's coming again in the clouds. He went away in the air. He's coming again in the air. I remember hearing Brother Mays Jackson say that the meteorologists tell us that every cloud in heaven is always moving, is always shifting, always drifting with the wind. He said that might well be with all of them but one. He said, "I believe there is one cloud that has been double parked beside the throne of God for 2,000 years. And He said, "You think of it what you want to. I don't know if it's right or not. But Brother May said that Jesus is coming back on the same cloud He went away on. I know He's coming again in the clouds. It may be on the same cloud, but Jesus is coming again just like He said." The person that is returning. Notice the people that are returning. Verse number 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Look at verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." The saints will return with Him. Those who were asleep in Christ, that is, their bodies are in the grave, but their spirits have returned unto God who gave it. That same spirit being will return with Christ in the air. Our loved ones that are on the other side with the Lord, Lord. When the Lord comes back in the air, their spirit will return in the air with Him. Oh, rapture, what a day when our eyes behold that that waits for us in the skies. And we see not only our precious Savior, but the saints of God that He will bring with Him in the air. The person returning, the people returning. But then notice the praise of the returning. Verse 16, He said, the Lord shall ascend from heaven with three things. With the shout, number one. With the voice of the archangel, number two. And with the trump of God, number three. The shout, the voice, and the trump. It'll not be a quiet, reserved moment of silence. I don't like moments of silence. Well, you know what a moment of silence is? It is a poor substitute for prayer. Amen. It is this old world's way of saying we're going to pray without recognizing God or really praying. And we're going to bypass the Supreme Court and whoever else that says we can't pray. But I'm telling you, this will not be a reserved moment of silence. It will not be a time for us to pretend there's a God without recognizing there's a God. I'm telling you, we're going to see Him in whom we have first believed. The one who is the author and finisher of our faith. And the heavens will declare with glory and great power the praise of the risen and returning Lord Jesus, who will reign forever and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen.
Yes.
There is a praise to this return. There is a shout going to take place. He said the Lord Himself shall return with a shout. He shall return with a shout. When Joshua heard the sound of those down in the wilderness, he said, it sounds like war. And you know what they do during war? They're not quiet and reserved. They're not silent and having a moment of silence. There is the noise of battle. When he said the Lord Himself shall return with a shout, that is a military command. Jesus will be calling the orders. Jesus will be sounding the orders. Jesus will be calling the host of heaven to assemble. Have my friend, for military action against the domain of the devil. Oh, the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 6 and 12. That Jesus will come in Satan's domain and take that domain back, friend. And He'll stop in the air. He will invade the devil's territory. He will stop there. He'll call His bride up to meet Him there. And what a meeting in the air. It's a clear demonstration of our Lord's power over the devil, over death, over disease, over doom, destruction, and disaster. It is the shout of the war. And then He said, not only will there be a shout, but He said, then there'll be the voice of the archangel. Now, I don't know why necessarily this is. I cannot really nail it down. Maybe you are wise and have learned something, or the Lord shows you something. And if so, share it with me later, not while I'm preaching, but later. I am interested in hearing what you have to say about it. Why do we need to hear the voice of the archangel? I read after some commentaries who said the angels would be calling those people up out of the grave. I don't know if that's necessary. When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, who was dead, solid dead, bona fide dead, stinking dead. I mean, laying in the grave for 4 days until His body stunk. And Jesus stood in front of the grave and He said, Lazarus, come forth. He who had been dead 4 days in the grave came walking out when Jesus called His name. When the Lord gives the shout, the dead in Christ will have everything they need to know in order to resurrect. I don't believe it'll take the voice of an angel to call the dead from out of the ground. I don't know why the angel's shouting. I tell you what I think may be the case. I think, though, my friend, how when Jesus shouts and when Jesus is calling the dead forth, how when Jesus is coming back to get His bride, how when Jesus is sweeping up all of those out of this old world, the angels in heaven have heard the Father and Son talking about this for 2,000 plus years now. And to my friend, the Bible said they desire to look into these things. I believe when they hear that shout, one will say to the others, it's happening! It's happening! He's going to get them to bring them home! Oh, praise
praise the Lord, and all of heaven will be abuzz with excitement and with joy and with anticipation for the church, the blood-washed band, those who have made their robes white and clean in the blood of the Lamb. And the angels are saying, they're coming! They're coming! It's happening! Oh, bless His name! And the voice of the archangel, that is, my friend, the praise of this return. There'll be a shout. There'll be a voice. And then there will be a trumpet, the Bible says. Oh, praise God. And the trump of God shall sound. Oh, throughout Jewish history, the trumpet was used for many reasons. See if these sound like what's going to happen at the day of the resurrection. Have a trumpet sounded in Numbers 10 and 10 to announce the feast. Did you know there's going to be a supper? Are you listening to me to announce the feast? There's going to be a supper. They announced how blew the trumpet in 2 Samuel 6 and 15 to announce the celebration. Oh, that will be a celebration on that day. They announced how blew the trumpet to announce a sacred assembly in Leviticus 23 and 24. And I can't think of a more sacred assembly than what's going to happen on the day of the rapture and the resurrection. In Numbers 10 and 9, they blew the trumpet to sound an alarm during the time of war. And brother, that's what this is going to be. War on the devil and on sin. In Judges 6 and 34, they sounded the trumpet to assemble a crowd. Oh, you talk about a crowd, brother. How you talk about a crowd. On that day, what a day that's going to be. In 1 Samuel 13 and 3, they sounded the trumpet to make a great announcement. Can you imagine a greater announcement than what's happening when Jesus comes in the clouds, that this may be my favorite of them all. At Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 2, how when they were in the wilderness, they sounded the trumpet so that everybody would know it's time to break up camp. We're leaving the place where we are and we're moving on. Woo! Oh, I'm telling you, friend, it won't be long after the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to break up camp. We're going to snatch up our 10th stage. We're moving out of this whole world. Oh, praise the sweet name. The praise of the return. Jesus is coming back like He said. Hallelujah. What a meeting. What a meeting in the air. The return. And then secondly this morning, there will not only be a return, there will be a resurrection. Hallelujah. There will be a resurrection. What about those that have gone? Oh, no. Well, verse 14 says the Lord's bringing them with Him. And then verse 15, He says, we're not going to prevent them. And then verse number 16 says, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And now listen, let me say this morning. You will have to live till Jesus comes back in order to leave when Jesus comes back. You don't have to live until Jesus comes back in order to leave when Jesus comes back. That is what they were teaching in Thessalonica. And Paul was letting them know how we who are alive will not prevent them who are asleep. They're going with us. Matter of fact, they're going to get a head start on us. They're already, their spirit is with Jesus. And when He comes back, their spirit will return with Him. Oh, but praise God, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Now think about this. If we do believe that Christ is raised, and we do, or else we are dead in our sins, according to 1 Corinthians 15, if we believe that Christ is raised, and He's the first fruits of the dead, and that there will then be those others that will also to come and raise also from the dead. Wouldn't it be a sad thing for Jesus to come in there, raise up all those dead bodies, and all those dead bodies just be raised with no spirit to be put in them? And just a corpse? And just a corpse? What value is a resurrection if all you have is a body? But the Lord is gracious in that. And when He raises the bodies, He's going to bring the spirits also with Him. He's going to bring spirit to reunite with body. And as He raises the body, the spirits will spark again with those bodies. And they will be glorified, resurrected. The bodies shown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Shown in mortality, raised raised in immortality. Have sown in weakness, raised in power. Have sown temporally, raised eternally. Well, praise God, there's going to be a resurrection. Have sown earthly, raised heavenly. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ will God bring with them in the air. And my friend, and he will bring their bodies from the grave. As surely as Christ rose bodily on resurrection Sunday, a glorified body no longer subject to death, as so also will the graves give up their deads with glorified bodies, no longer subject to death, sickness, or sin. And the resurrection will unite the whole of man. And my friend, body, soul, and spirit, all made in the likeness of our glorified Savior. You see, 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 tells us today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But when he comes back for their bodies to be raised, he'll bring their spirits with him. And there will be a meeting in the air. Hallelujah. The resurrection. I don't know if everybody's following with me or not. If you're not following all the way along with me, if you missed something this morning, don't worry about what you missed. Capitalize on what you get. Amen. I mean, don't worry about, oh, I don't understand all about that. We'll talk about that later. Don't get so puzzled on what you don't understand that you fail to rejoice in what you do understand. Oh, my friend, praise God, there'll be a resurrection. Now, notice the situation for our loved ones. Those who are died in Christ are asleep, the Bible says. Those who sleep in Christ Jesus will he bring with him in verse 14. Verse 15, if this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain to the coming Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Their situation, those who have died in Christ are asleep, or they sleep, according to this passage. This is not that they are dozed off and in the grave. How, my friend, it's not a soul sleep, but it is that they are in rest from all of their labors and struggles. As surely as Jesus is at rest in heaven at the right hand of God, they are also at absolute rest with him. We can rejoice that our loved ones, the last time you saw them, may have been struggling and could find no rest. They may have been looking, have not been pacing the Jordan River looking for a place to cross. But today they are at rest. They rest from their labors. Hallelujah. And their works do follow them. That is their situation. Then I want you to notice their location. The departed saints, the Bible said, those who sleep in Christ will God bring with him. With him. You know where their location is. They are with him. They sleep in Christ. When he returns, he will bring them with him. By the time this event is finished, all God's children will be with him. That is our desire, according to Philippians 1 and 23, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That is their location. They are with Christ this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. I've been stewing on this all week long. And if I had enough voice in the body, ain't no telling how long I'd preach this morning. But I'm trying to just preach the best I can while I can. Praise God for a meeting in the air. Oh, their situation, they're at rest. Their location, they're with Jesus. Then there is the affirmation in verse 15. We will not prevent them. Some in Thessalonica have been taught that to see Jesus, when he comes back, they'd have to still be alive. Only the living would get to see Christ, and all others would be prevented or excluded. But Paul affirms the truth of the resurrection, and we will not prevent them. None will be excluded. In fact, they'll be the first to be translated and rise. The dead in Christ will rise first. They're not going to be left out. They're going to lead us out. They're not going to be forgotten. They're going to be first. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're not going to worry. Are they going to participate? We're not going to go through the air and wonder, is that grave going to burst open? But the grave's going to burst first. And they're going to lead us out of this whole world to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. There'll be a return. There'll be a resurrection at that meeting in the air. Number three this morning, there will be a rapture at that meeting in the air. There will be a rapture. Verse number 17. The Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we fall over in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There will be a rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the teaching of the rapture is clear. That is in the Bible. We will be caught up with the Lord. We will be caught up in the air. We will be caught up with this resurrected crew, leaving out of here the same way Jesus left out after the resurrection, left out of here on the cloud. Jesus went away like Superman, and he's coming back like the Lone Ranger. He went away on the cloud, and he's coming back on a horse. And we're going to do the same thing he did. We are leaving out like the Superman, and we're coming back like the Lone Ranger, going to ride a horse. But Jesus, when he returns at the end of this whole thing, oh, my friend, the rapture, it'll be sudden. That's what it'll be, caught up. That word caught up means to snatch away or to seize by force. When Jesus comes, it'll be a sudden event. One moment will be, I'm living life as normal. The next moment will be with Jesus in the air. Well, that's right. That mortal will put on immortality. I will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Luke 17:34. I said there'd be two in the bed. One would be taken, the other left. There'd be two grinding at the meal. One taken, and the other left. Two working in the field. And one taken, the other left. Life as normal will be happening. People will be sleeping and eating and working and driving and living. And then in a split second, at a very moment, and my friend God will take us away. The planes, the trains, and the automobiles, I will be without navigation. As the drivers and pilots are translated into eternal glory. Praise God. Traffic jams will happen, and they'll say, who was the driver? Why, there's nobody at the wheel. Oh, bless his name. And there will be trains whose engineers will leave their stations. And there will be workstations who suddenly will be emptied out of employees. And they'll never report back to their address of residency before. Again, we'll leave this world of sin and sorrow, and instantly we will be with the Lord. Rapture, it will be sudden. Rapture, it will be selective. Notice the portion of Scripture, verse number 17. That's about 20 minutes worth of preaching, but I had to get it. Hallelujah. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice he didn't say in everybody. He didn't say all. He didn't say the whole human race. He didn't say people of all the earth. He said we. Who is this we? This we are we that know the Lord. This we are we that have trusted Jesus. This we are we that are right with God. Jesus is not coming for everyone, only for those who are right with God. Many will expect to go, but they'll fail to make the trip. They'll stand in the judgment the last day and say, Lord, did we not? Lord, did we not? And they'll declare their works righteous, but God will declare their works iniquitous. They will say they knew Jesus, but Jesus will say, I never knew you. Yes, we are those who are right with God. If you want to leave, my friend, this whole world has sin and sorrow when Jesus comes. You better get things right with the Lord.
Amen.
The only folks that are leaving are those that are right with God.
Amen.
It'll be selective.
Yes, sir, brother.
It'll be sudden. Yes. The rapture will be serious.
Yes.
The redeemed will go. Everybody else is going to stay. The redeemed will leave. Everyone else will be left behind to face the horrors that will come upon this world after the church is gone. The redeemed will have, my friend, escape great tribulation that is pending, that will come upon the earth. Have, my friend, this whole world will be sent strong delusion. They will believe a lie and be damned. Have, they will know, my friend, the four horses. Have the apocalypse. They will know the seven vials of wrath. Have, they'll know, my friend, the seven trumpets. Have, they'll know the breaking of the seven seals. All of these have things spelled doom, death, disaster, tribulation, Jacob's trouble. Oh, my friend, many of those, have the Israelites will turn the hearts of the Lord. Have, my friend, the elect will scarcely be saved, the Bible says. It'll be a time of death and of famine and of peril and of sword. Have the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet will wreak havoc in this whole world. Oh, God, help us. Have, my friend, you don't want to be here when Jesus is taking the church out. You don't want to be here when the people of God are called. You don't want to be here when there's not a King James Bible believing church, when a fire breathing preacher and a church that worships the Lord. You don't want to be in this whole world without the presence of the move of the Holy Ghost. Have, my friend, the witness of His people. It'll be selective. We're leaving. When Jesus comes, we are leaving. This is the thing that troubled me so greatly as a young man. This is the thing that troubled me so greatly as a boy growing up. I knew that my family was saved. I knew that my daddy was saved. I knew that if the Lord came, they'd be gone. And I was concerned that I was lost and I'd be left behind. You've heard me tell it over and over again, but I'm going to tell it again this morning. I had to look out in the sky over here at Bound Junction, and I'd see, especially on cloudy afternoons and evenings, I'd see the light shining up out of that municipal airport in over there in Mount Zion, shining on the underside of the clouds over there in the sky. And I thought that it was the cloud breaking open, the light shining out of the cloud onto the ground. It was Jesus coming back, and I was not ready. Oh, and it struck fear in my heart, and I'd be so afraid and so worried. Then he'd tell me it's the light shining off up in the sky from the airport, and I knew he wouldn't lie to me on purpose. But what if he was mistaken? What if he was wrong? What if it was Jesus coming back? Everybody in the house going to bed. I'd lay there afraid and not able to sleep. And get up and stare out the window, look up at the sky and weep. Oh, trouble in my heart. I'd ease down the hallway night after night after night to listen to see if I could hear my daddy snoring. He snores out loud. I mean, where everybody knows when he's asleep. And I'd listen to see if I could hear my daddy snoring. Because if I could hear him snoring, I would know Jesus hadn't come back. And I wasn't here alone without all those who love me. Oh, praise God. And that would soothe my heart a little bit. I'd go back and lay in the bed and sometimes drift off to sleep. Several times stay up all night worried and afraid and scared. Oh, but now that I know the Lord, I live still very close to the same place. And lots of nights I can see that light as shining up on the bottom side of the cloud. But I don't have to stay up and worry anymore. I don't get afraid. I ride across that hillside coming home. I'm from revival meetings there at Loving Farm Road, where Ham Jones's farm is. You hit a high spot and you can see way on out through yonder. And I can see lots of times that light shining up on the bottom side of the cloud. And many a night I just called me and the Lord and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Thank God I have confidence to know when we leave, I'm going to be in the number when the saints go marching in. Praise God, we're going to leave. It's selective. It's serious.
Yes, sir.
It's sudden. The rapture will be sensational. This verse rings with excitement. Rapture is a military invasion. Jesus attacks Satan on his own territory, calls up his wife, his bride, the church to meet him there, proves his absolute dominion over Satan, over sin, and over death. It will be sensational what's going to happen on that day.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir,
the rapture. There's a return. There is a resurrection. There is a rapture. They don't want to say number four. We're making our own progress. Got about halfway there to go. There will be a rescue. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's going to be a rescue. Did any of you ever get to where I am sometimes when you look around at this world that's in such a mess, this country that's in such a mess, our system that's in such a mess, our society that's in such a mess, and say, I just want to run and hide, but there ain't nowhere to run and hide. This world is a mess. How do you ever just get sick of the world you're living in? Do you ever get sick of the system that is? Do you ever get sick of wrong winning and right losing? Do you ever get sick of the devil and everything he does? Do you ever get sick of sin and disease and death and discouragement? I wish you could just run away. Wish somebody would just rescue you. Wish somebody would just take you away. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 17 says, today we dwell in a sin-cursed world. This is a world of wickedness. This is a place of sin and strife and temptation, evil and violence. This is a world of deceit and dishonesty. And my friend, disease, death, doom, and disaster. But we are leaving this world. There will be no swollen bellies, no little hungry babies in that land. And there'll be no crying in the ghettos. There'll be no lies of political movements. There'll be no marches in the streets. There will be no sirens. And my friend, in flashing emergency lights, there'll be no more jail cells and hospitals and doctor's offices and cemeteries. There'll be no more divorce courts, broken homes, shattered lives, or substance abuse at treatment centers. The lion will lie down with the lamb, and he'll eat grass like an ox in the field. The child will play over the hole of an asp, and he will not be bitten or harmed. And we will beat our weapons in the plowshares, sit down beside the riverside, and study war no more. And there will be peace forevermore. Oh, it will be glory after a while. He is going to rescue us. Woo! We're leaving out. Going to get rescued. Hallelujah. You know what they call it in the military? When they send in a rescue mission, the target is in there. They got somebody that's a friendly. He's friendly, and he's in enemy territory, and he becomes their target or the subject of this activity, of this mission. When they get in, and they're going to bring the target out, you know what they call that? An extraction. Hallelujah. And when the mission is complete, the object of the mission, the target has been extracted from enemy territory.
Amen.
You know what the Lord's going to do at the day of the rapture and the resurrection? That's going to be an extraction. Yeah. There's going to be a rescue. Yeah. And we're going to be removed from enemy territory.
Yeah.
Woo! And we're going to be brought safely unto Himself.
Yeah.
And we're going to be rescued from this old world.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave it all behind.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it all behind.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it all behind.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend, thank God. Everything that offends and dishonors God and that is a defiling and that is a lie, we're going to leave it all behind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to leave it all behind. Sin and everything it's brought, we're going to leave it all behind. Carnality and everything it reeks of, we're going to leave it all behind.
Yes.
Satan and everything he's ever done, we're going to leave it all behind. Woo! Death and everything that it does to bring have my friend the grip of hurt and disappointment to our heart, we're going to leave it all behind. Oh, bless His name, poverty and the sickness and disease, we're going to leave it all behind. He will extract us. He will rescue us from this old sin-cursed world. And I don't know if you know it or not, get it or not, understand it or not, are aware of it, or if God's revealed it to you especially personally this morning or not, but the place we're going is better than any place we have ever been. Hallelujah. Woo!
Yes, sir.
Rescue! There is a return. There is a resurrection. There is a rapture. There is a rescue. Number five, there is a reunion coming. Oh, that will be a reunion. Hallelujah. Then we, which are alive and remain in the coming, shall be caught up. Verse 17, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. With them, who are the them, the sainted dead, the Savior, and we will be caught up together with them. There will be no more separation. Woo! Oh, bless His name. Oh, hear me, a reunion. We're going to have a reunion with the saints and dead. Won't it be something to see that loved one?
Yeah.
The last time you held their hand, they gasped for one last breath, but no cancer anymore. No wrinkles in mom and dad's aged faces. No eyeglasses or hearing aids. No wheelchairs or oxygen tanks. Oh, my friend, hey, we're going to be caught up together with them. This morning when I opened my Bible, Brother T.J., opened my Bible cover and started to pull my Bible out, bookmark fell to the side, had my granddaddy's picture on it. Even on his picture when he looked good, when things were well, eyeglasses on his face, head bald and all of his hair gone. Oh, and I remember the last time I saw him. He was in the hospital bed and in a foul shape and crying because he knew he'd probably never get to come home again. This week's Thanksgiving, always loved it, always wanted to have a big to-do, meant a lot to him. The last year we got together, he told me at the close of the day after spending the day with him, and it had been a good day. Lots of days had been struggles, lots of days had been hard. That day had been a good day. Had he sat there so tired he could hardly hold his head up, had rubbed his head until that comb over he had, over the bald head, all the hair was poking up like a rooster tail. Right there on top of his bald head. And he was so tired, leaning his arms up full of arthritis in those wrists where he walked on his hands. How were those walking sticks until his arms wouldn't hold him up anymore? And his hands and his wrists were swollen. And he said, "Sport, this will be the last one of these we'll have." Woo! Praise God, but the next meal we have together, it'll be even greater. Oh, yes. And when I opened my Bible this morning and that Bible marker fell over to the side, I said, "Oh, that'll be a reunion. Oh, when we gather on a homecoming day." Woo! Oh, bless His name. Won't that be something to see the sainted dead? Oh, but then, my friend, we're going to be caught up together with them. That is to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, we'll be with the sainted dead, but we'll also be reunited with the Savior eternal. Oh, the Savior eternal. Oh, we'll be with the Lord. And forever with Jesus in heaven's array. What a day that day is going to be. The sainted dead, what a reunion. The Savior eternal, what a reunion. How about this? The saved of the whole earth. What a reunion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some this morning that like to be here. They're not going home to be with the Lord. They're just going home to deal with the sickness or with some providential hindrance, would like to be here. They're not here this morning. We may get the opportunity very well to be together in church together on next week. I'm anticipating that. I'm hoping for that if the Lord doesn't come back first. Oh, that friend, there's coming a day when all of God's children will be together. Oh, we didn't get to have camp meeting this year. Things didn't work out where we'd be able to do that. Some who were with us in the last meeting have already gone home to be with the Lord. They'll not make the next meeting if we do have a camp meeting. A Faith Baptist camp didn't meet June, didn't meet August. That's going to start meeting on tomorrow night, Lord's willing. That Samuel who was with us in the last meeting won't be there in the next meetings. But I'm telling you, when we have the meeting in the air, they'll be there. Hallelujah. 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 From north, south, east, and west, of every kindred and nation and tongue and tribe, going to gather together with the Lord. The saved of the whole earth. What a day that day is going to be. Hallelujah. Last night, Friday night, I sat down as I was studying through this part of the sermon, studying through this part of the message, and I did a search, a quick search on my library, my computer. This song said, here we often have a family reunion. We visit for such a short while. We part and will not see each other for a year or more at a time. But someday when life here is over and all of our troubles are o'er, there'll be an everlasting reunion when I step off on that beautiful shore. Someday I'm going to cross the river. I'm going to step off on that beautiful shore. I'll see Jesus and my loved ones and will be there in their presence evermore. Oh, I'm telling you, I can hear Archie watching and Troy Burns in my mind and Eddie Deeds and Mike Holcomb are singing in the back of my mind. Oh, when I step off on that beautiful shore. Praise God forever. Oh, homecoming day in the morning when the saints are robed in bright array. Oh, that will be a reunion when we gather on homecoming day. What a meeting in the air. What a meeting in the air. There'll be a reunion. And then I'm going to close with this morning. I preached about everything I can, not everything I've got, but everything I can. Hallelujah. There will be a rejoicing. There will be a rejoicing. There's going to be a return, a resurrection, a rapture, a rescue, a reunion, and there's going to be a rejoicing. I mean, you think that we're carried away now. You haven't seen nothing yet. You think Brother Toby gets floated off now while my voice is weak and my body gets tired. And my friend, I get faint of voice. You just wait until I get over there and my voice never tires or grows old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's just a reminder of these things that brings comfort in these troubled days. Oh, that'll be glory over yonder after a while. Hey, friend, we used to sing when I was a boy, I'll get carried away when I get carried away. And it ain't going to be long after we're going to get carried away, get floated off, amen. And what a day that blessed day is going to be. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Lee and I was talking about last Sunday, folks getting excited and rejoicing in Jesus and running on the backs of the pews. And I've done that when I was younger. Hallelujah. And I'm not above doing it again. Amen. But the Lord's going to have to let me do it on the kind of, I'm scared to do it without the Lord helping me do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, but there's going to come a day. Some of you are young enough and are old enough that have been around for the days when I was a teenage boy and was not afraid to just jump on the back of the pews and run down. One of these days, and listen, I don't do much of that kind of stuff no more. I don't dance a whole lot no more. And I ain't never danced in the world, but I'm talking about dancing in the spirit. Been a long time since I've floated off and satisfied in the flesh enough while I was in the spirit. Had to just kick my foot up and spin around in a circle and dance in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if it's probably been since my oldest girl was just a toddler. She may not have never remembered such. But one of these days, honey, God's going to give daddy a leg that ain't never been broke. Woo! And I'm going to stomp and shout and dance about. And brother, you ain't seen nothing. Those of you that don't like shouting, I hope God parts you right next to me for the first million years in heaven to get you acclimated. Because when I get where my voice won't wear out, there ain't no telling how we're going to rejoice. Woo! Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. My daddy and I went to a cattle sale yesterday. That don't sound real spiritual to some of y'all. But he and I cried like babies all the way there talking about how good Jesus is. Woo! Hallelujah. We got there and went into the sale barn and is having that big sale, you know, for those high dollar cows that we didn't buy any of, but we did eat their buns of stew and french fries and homemade cakes and such, and watched everybody else spend big money on cows and wait and see if there's one dropped down low enough where we might consider bidding on it. And we sat there before they got started. Had the preacher man from up the road that pastored a little local church started the thing out in prayer. He got happy praying, and it was good. And they asked the man that made the stew to come up there and announce his business and such. And he said, "I don't have a whole lot I want to say about the business. I just want to say I love the Lord. I don't want to thank Him for saving my soul. And I sure am glad I'm saved. And I love Jesus." Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And some of that crowd is right there with him. Some of them sort of stared at him, wondering what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a day when everybody in the house, when everybody in the meeting will know exactly what's going on. They're going to be in on it. And we're going to worship the Lord without hindrance. And what rejoicing that will be. I got done listening the other night when I step off on that beautiful shore. And the next song that came up in the rotation said, "Yes, I'll reach home. Oh, praise the Lord, some sweet day. When I walk up the grave, Milky Way. Goodbye, old world. Good morning there before the throne. What a singing that will be when I get home. When I move up there to settle down. When I step inside the gate to look around. I want at least a million years to view the throne. So many friends I want to see when I get home. Oh, I'll get home. Oh, praise the Lord, some sweet day. I'm telling you, friend, we're soon moving out of this old world, and we're going to get carried away when we get carried away. You've never seen anything remotely like what the worship service will be when we get over there. So what do you got to say about it this morning, preacher? I'm finished preaching. I want to leave you with two verses of Scripture. Matthew 24 and 44, the meeting in the air. Matthew 24 and 44. "Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." I'd encourage you this afternoon, go home and read the end of chapter 4 into and through chapter 5 and see if there's not a constant flow from chapter 4, these last verses, all the way through chapter 5 to the close of the epistle. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is not by accident he uses that phrase. Whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's plan for his church. We're going to have a meeting in the air. I started to say, I don't know about you, and I guess I really don't. I got a pretty good idea. I don't know. Maybe Sister Ginger only comes to church so much on account of Brother John tells her to. Maybe that's it. If so, Brother John says she don't do everything else that tightly as to whatever he wants her to. I got a feeling she don't come to church like she does because Brother John tells her that's what he wants her to do. Because she likes to come to me. We're going to have to meet. Reached my way out of a wet paper bag. By the time he'd come by with his car key, he'd be right tearing my tie. Say, "I was right on target, preacher. didn't do that just because he loved me. He liked to come to meeting. And we don't have a meeting. I've watched my granny nearly go home to be with the Lord 100 times in the middle of the meeting. And I'm telling you, friend, hands up in the air, and if the Lord had just reached down, she'd have grabbed Hope to his hand and took off. Amen. Because she loved to go to meeting. And brother, we're going to have a meeting.
Amen.
Brother Eddie's mother, I've seen her sit and look across the top of that studio style pen and grin at me with that little smirky grin. Pick out whatever key that I was in, find the song I was singing, and just play it with me like she's been playing it with me her whole life. Feed me meals at her table and make sure I had more to eat than what I could hardly walk out of there with. And send me stuff home. She came to hear me preach over and over and over. And it wasn't just because she loved me. It wasn't just because she loved Brother Eddie. She loved to go to meeting. And we're going to have a meeting before long. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm feeling like Granny Hicks right about now. I'm running out of voice and out of composure. And I'd like to tell you all about it. But the Lord knows my heart. And we're going to have a meeting. Praise God. Person that hugged my neck and told me that they loved me before I left Crossway Church was your sister, and she was there because she loved to go to meeting, and we're going to have a meeting real soon. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
John's granny got in the back seat of my two-door Dodge Aries and probably drove 10, 15, 20,000 miles with me when she was over 80 years old, because she loved to go to meeting. And we're going to have a meeting before long. Everybody stand. I got to quit. What a meeting in the air. Praise God. Praise God. You're not ready. You can give up the
Lord. A country where no
I Let's sing the first and last verse, Amazing Grace. I don't know if I can sing a lick, but they're not. But... this far already, but if not, Brother Tom, the next verse, he says, but it's not for me to tell you of the times or of the seasons. It's not to know necessarily if it's going to be today or tomorrow. Just be ready. By the time he gets to the end of the chapter, he's given us a Thanksgiving verse. And everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's verse 17, chapter 5. And then what was it, verse 20, 23, where we were just a minute ago? Praying that He'd sanctify us, holy, preserving our whole body, and soul, and spirit until the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you'll get home this afternoon and read chapter 5 in light of what we've studied out of chapter 4, you'll see that thread of God bringing us through from when Amazing Grace was first introduced into our lives until He finishes that which He's begun in us when we get to glory. Oh, yes, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What day is that? It don't make no difference. Whatever day it is, He's able to keep it that I've committed unto Him against that day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, thank the Lord.